Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
National Best Friends Day is August 1st, so we are talking about all the shit that happens to women with a couple best friends. There are so many things that happen to us that we think we're the only ones that it happens to, but it's actually happening to a lot of us. We are talking lost tampons, vulva prints, butt stuff, and more. This episode is absolutely hilarious.
Before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you about Manifest Your Man. This is a six-week program to reclaim your confidence to attract the man you deserve and have been dreaming about. I am so excited for this upcoming program. In this program, we are going to cover everything from health, pleasure, communication, desires, and really getting clear on what you're looking for in a partner. This program is great for doing the work to get ready for your next relationship. To find out more information about this, go to manifest.jordandonnell.com. I am so excited for all of the women who decide to take this step to reclaiming their confidence and attracting the man they want.
Joining me today is Cass and Emma, the hosts of the Honey Do Me podcast, a podcast that's aimed to cultivate sexual wellness by normalizing experiences, nurturing confidence, and building connections. They aren't experts, but they know they aren't the only ones with questions, insecurities, and a desire to grow. Their guests are where they turn to receive the answers and advice that they believe their community has been craving. Their goal is always to leave listeners laughing, ready to explore what they learned, and feeling worthy of love and pleasure. These ladies are best friends who asked me to be on one of their first podcast episodes, and they are absolutely killing it, and I am loving watching them grow and build their network. I thought that they would be great for talking about all of the weird stuff that happens to us. So Cass, Emma, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah.
You go first.
Okay. So I am Cass. I am the co-host of Honey Do Me podcast. Do you want me to introduce the podcast?
Yeah, you introduce.
Okay.
You're good at it.
So we are a podcast that wants to teach everyone how to have great sex, feel good in their bodies, love themselves. We really like to get into the specifics of like how to have sex and how to really enjoy it, how to work through all of the shame that you've been harboring all of these years. Mm-hmm. And we just really want to have a good time doing it because sex should be fun.
Super fun. Yeah. And beside that, we're just best friends that live really close to each other.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with our lives.
And you're Emma.
Oh, and I'm Emma. Yes. Yes. I always forget to introduce myself.
I love it. Why did you guys start your podcast?
Well, we first met in a psychology of sexuality class, and both of us just started connecting over the material, basically, and finding it really and finding it really interesting and also funny. So we just wanted to explore that a little bit more. And then we wanted to get to know people. We want to understand why people are interested in certain things, how they make their sex lives better, or how they enjoy pleasure. And I think we just really wanted to explore that avenue. And so we started talking about it.
Yeah. I think we realized that we weren't afraid to talk about it. Yeah. And we weren't afraid to be super open with each other. I mean, the first time we hung out, we went to a sex shop.
Yes.
And that was right. Like really our first time hanging out outside of class. And So we just realized it doesn't make us uncomfortable.
Right.
It doesn't make us nervous asking about it. Some of the sex things we talk about do make us uncomfortable and nervous, but we're willing to work past that, to ask those questions and to overshare and do all of those things that people might not necessarily want to do. And so we volunteer as tribute for that.
Exactly. And I feel like, at least for me, I've been looking for someone for forever to have these conversations with, because all you're looking for is like someone you can relate with when it comes to sex. A lot of the time, you know, you're just looking for someone that understands what you're going through. So that was really important for us. And we're hoping to just share that with everyone.
I love it. And I am so excited to have you guys here today to talk about shit that happens to women that we don't talk about. Because I think so many times there's things that happen to us that we think we're probably the only person that's ever happened to. So let's just jump right into it. What are some things that have happened to you that you thought
hasn't happened to anybody else.
Well, I don't know if it's happened, like I think of it that way, but I know that when I think about my body, you know, like when we talk about like labia size and shape, that's something that I always felt super alone in and like, oh fuck, I have no one to talk to about this. And that I was the only one with the problem. I don't know. And then also like queefing is never a subject that comes up with friends. Like we never talk about like, remember when you queefed the other day? It's like that never gets talked about. And I always thought, I was like, fuck, so I'm the only one with that in my past.
I'm the gross one.
I'm the gross one. That is it. But that's totally it. I'm the gross one when it comes to my body and sex, because I feel like all these things are the only thing that happened to me.
Absolutely. I agree with every word of that. I think something that we talk about a lot is the idea that you aren't special, and not in a bad way, but in the way that like literally everything we go through, we're all going through it and we're all experiencing those things. So like countless people are experiencing the exact same thing. I think for me, like it was also feeling like gross and weird about my body. Like discharge is something that has always is my normal, like not in a health way, but in like a, is there something wrong with me? Am I gross? Is it too much?
Yeah.
That's been something that I think I've really had to work through. Yeah.
Especially you talk about how it took you a long time to get used to like the idea of someone going down on you. So like maybe taste.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely. All of those things, like I've held so much shame and fear around somebody going down on me, around like fully opening my legs to someone, because it just feels so intimate.
Yeah.
And we're taught, I don't know, or we're not taught what's actually normal and what's actually okay. So
yeah,
that's where you come in, Jordan.
Yeah.
Aw. Well, in vaginal discharge is one of the things that I get tons of questions about. And I've done a lot of podcast episodes with other people about, because I think a lot of people are in the same boat, as they don't know what's normal for them. They don't know how much is too much, how little is okay. Like they just, they don't know. And we're not taught about it. So I think that's a really good point. And yeah, queefing. Do you guys talk to that?
No.
I mean, we would talk about it with each other. We have like a third friend that we see.
Yeah.
That we would talk to her about it. It doesn't, it still doesn't come up all that often though.
No. With like you and I in the episodes, we'll bring it up at least every other episode. It'll, because it is so freaking common. Sex, whatever you're doing, usually there's air going somewhere. And so it's like, it's going to happen and you might as well talk about
it. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, I know it shouldn't be. It just is so like mortifying.
Well, I remember, and this is what stuck with me, is one of the first rumors I ever heard in high school was from a different school even, but it got to our school about how this girl farted during sex, which probably was a queef, not farting, but then no one could stop talking about it and was just making fun of her. And it's like, that is so shitty. And I would never want anyone to ever feel so bad about that. And I thought that was just awful. And that's always stuck with me about queefing.
Ugh.
You know, it's just terrible.
Are there like certain positions that you've noticed makes queefing worse?
Doggy style.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I would say, even the position, like if you're on your back, but like your legs are up more, like either your knees are in, or I'm not flexible. I can't even, I'm not going to pretend like I can show you, or your legs are like straight up in the air.
Anything over. Where it's exposed to the air.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The elements.
Yeah. Anything where the elements can get involved.
Yeah.
Feels.
Yeah. Feels like there's going to be a lot of air going up.
I mean, I feel like we're taught from like the second we get into school, like kindergarten, you don't want to fart. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have anybody hear you fart, because that's embarrassing. And so what sucks about queefing is that it makes a similar sound.
Yes.
I think that's what's really embarrassing about it. And we've talked about this in a previous episode. If it made a different sound,
I might be
that
okay
would be
with
lovely.
It. That would be lovely.
Like,
because it is, it's coming out of my vulva. So it's like, she's cute. So why can't the sound be cute? Don't sound like you're coming out of my butt. Like, I just win.
Yes.
Just a kissing sound would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be so funny.
Oh my goodness. You guys are hilarious. Now, have you ever had it where like you have sex, you're done having sex, you queefed a little, and then you go to the bathroom and it just keeps coming?
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where you sit down, like you sit down to go to the bathroom and you're like, is there a fan in here that I can turn on? Or how about the sink? Can I just turn that on to
how
start running water?
How much do we hate bathrooms without fans?
God damn it. Those should be illegal.
Right?
Be illegal?
Petition. Petition. I'm writing a letter right now to someone.
I was at a hotel this weekend and they didn't have a fan in the bathroom. And I'm like, this is a hotel. Like, you gotta be joking me.
Gotta be joking.
It's just cruel and unusual punishment.
It really is. It's so, when I first started dating my ex-boyfriend, it took me a long time to feel comfortable going to the bathroom at his place. Like, I would, because he lived right next door to my best friend at the time, I would run over and say I'd have to go pick something up from her house to go to the bathroom at her house because he didn't have a fan and his bathroom was like right next door to his bedroom. And I was like, I can't just turn on water. You'll know what I'm doing.
Or you'll think
I'm like taking a bath in here. Like, I don't know. Just a quick dip. Quick dip. Cool down.
That's so funny. And I think that a lot of women can relate to that, and that going to the bathroom in front of their partner or near their partner can be very anxiety ridden.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not supposed to do gross things. You know what I mean?
As women, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be like Barbie dolls that don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. I was at the gym today and I was wearing a tank top and I'm just like a sweaty person. Like, I am dripping right now. As we're speaking, I am sweating. And so I was at the gym and I knew I had those deodorant balls like underneath my armpit. I knew I was sweating and I like started turning away from everyone at the gym. So making my life harder. And I was like, why the fuck am I doing that? Because I'm not supposed to be sweating and I'm not supposed to be having like deodorant balls coming out of my armpit. And I was like, when these fuckers right next door to me don't give a shit.
These nasty
motherfuckers who aren't wiping down their shit after they like work out on it don't even care. But I'm like trying to make sure that I look like someone that doesn't sweat and doesn't get gross when I'm working out. And I think that's the same thing with anything that comes out of your body. Mm-hmm. It's like we try so hard to hide everything because we're not supposed to be doing it.
Yeah, just like periods too.
Yeah.
Anything that comes out of our bodies is like gross unless it's somehow serving somebody else.
Yeah.
Even like breast milk is still, you know, like that freaks some people out.
I mean, yeah breastfeeding, everything. It's mm-hmm. so shamed by people.
It is. And it's crazy how much, when you think about it in that way, how much shame there is with so much associated with women. And I think you guys and myself and a lot of our community that we're in are really on a mission to kind of get rid of the shame and talk about things more so that we can all feel more empowered about our own bodies and just shit that happens. So speaking of sweat, vulva sweat. Do you guys have a vulva that is super sweaty? Because I know I do.
I wouldn't say that I necessarily notice it. Probably if it is, it's because it's dripping from my armpit into like other parts of my body or like from my back or from my face. Because I am a very sweaty human, especially when I'm having sex. So line up, everyone. Am I right?
Grab a ticket.
So I haven't noticed necessarily my vulva at all, but the rest of my body, hell yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's something I've noticed in particular. I'm not, like, I feel like for me when that would happen would be working out. So like on the Peloton.
Swamp ass. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Swamp ass, swamp vulva. Peloton's not good for that.
No, that's just right there.
Yeah.
It just pools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so in that way, yes.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say necessarily for me during sex, but with everything else in my life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely more like with exercise. My girlfriends and I are always talking about this. Like, I can sit down on the machine and then there's going to be like a vulva print on the machine because of all of my sweat. And I know I have a lot of girlfriends that have like a lot of butt sweat when they work out, but you don't think about that. Or I've steamed up a car after working out from my vulva. When I was living in Minnesota.
You are powerful. Holy cow.
Got that pussy power.
Got that pussy power.
Absolutely. You're just leaving your stamp everywhere you go. Yeah. And I think that's special.
I think that's really special. That's, yeah. I mean, whatever. More power to it. I leave ass prints literally everywhere when I'm working.
Everywhere.
I thought you just meant in general.
At the coffee shop.
Any store.
Here. This is my house.
I know. just everywhere. But no, when I'm working out for sure. And I used to be, again, really embarrassed of it. And I think once I started doing like sports more consistently, whatever, and I was always sweaty and like sweating on the stuff that we were working out on, I was like, whatever, this is just my body working really hard. And you could say the same for sex. If you have a sweaty vulva, it's because my body's working hard, and you're welcome.
And you can think about like on TikTok, that trend where you were painting your butt and sitting down on the thing. You're doing the same thing. It's just with sweat. So like, it's a free version of that.
A free version.
Your butt is cute. Your vulva is cute. So just stamp it everywhere.
Yep. It's a vulva painting for you.
I'm going to think about that next time I sit down on the gym equipment.
Yeah. Yes. And then just sign it with a pen or something.
Sharpie. A silver Sharpie.
Ta-da! Jordan was here.
Jordan was here. I love it.
Oh my goodness. So I'm curious. Something that I've noticed about my body is that I have nipple hair and I tweeze them because I think a lot of women do that because they're embarrassed by them. But it's weird because one side is worse than the other. Do you guys have like nipple hair or notice this ever?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And that's actually something I've never talked about,
but I've been insecure
about it.
Yeah.
Since it started.
Literally was looking at it today in the shower. I was like, hello. But I do. I tweeze mine as well. Yeah. No, all the time. And that's something that I like, I'm conscious of now that I'm single and like wanting to date and stuff like that. Okay. So I have so much ground to cover now that I have to care about like someone else looking at my body.
Body hair is a lot.
Yeah.
Like it's,
yeah. You see? It's because I put face lotion on and that was my first mistake.
You're dewy.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I constantly have nipple hair. And I didn't even know that those bumps around our nipple.
That was the next thing that I was going to bring up.
Those are glands, right?
Okay.
Weren't they? Wasn't that what we learned?
That was what we learned.
Yeah, but I thought those were like a nipple rash or something, or like something that made my nipples unattractive.
Yeah, I thought there was something wrong with mine.
Yeah, and we saw a TikTok about it, and it's not. It's glands or something. Maybe you'd probably know better.
There's some medical term for it. I'm not exactly sure what the word is, but yeah, they're totally normal to have those little bumps around your areola. Have you ever had an ingrown on your nipple?
Oh gosh, no. So. I've had it on my like bikini line though.
My God.
And that is no fun because it's
okay.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Speaking of bikini line, shaving and getting the red rash after shaving.
I currently have one. It's currently happening.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah.
It makes me so upset. Honestly, I also have had some really, I will tell this story. So I started talking to this guy. He was really cute. He asked me out. I didn't really expect him to, but I was really excited and we were texting and I was like, I'm going to go get a Brazilian because I just wanted to go for it.
Oh, okay. I think I kind of remember. Keep going.
Yeah. He did ghost me, but that's besides the point.
That's besides the point.
I got a fucking rash from the wax. And so I was like, oh, it was terrible. And I paid a bunch of money for it and I was so excited. And then I would have felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
With somebody's, it was bad.
No, that really sucks.
Yeah.
And honestly, so if we're talking about hair, so right now I want to start dating. Like I'm recently single, whatever. And I thought I was going to be the coolest cucumber when it comes to like body confidence now that we're talking more about it and body hair. And I'm realizing that I'm like starting to panic a little bit. Like I don't know how I feel most confident anymore. And I don't know what people are going to find attractive on me. And that's making me nervous again. And I'm like, why the fuck? I know it's like, you know better not to worry about it, but you can't help yourself from worrying about it because it's so ingrained in like stigma, everything. Like people might have a preference and then it might not be your preference or their preference, you know, and it's scary. It's scary out there.
It is scary. I had a partner in high school say, why don't you just shave?
Yeah.
I think I would prefer that. Why don't you just do that? And that has like stuck with me ever since. Oh, everybody prefers that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though my partner has said, my current partner, literally do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's still in my head. I'm like, oh, well, it's still better to be like completely,
totally
clean shaven.
Sorry, I know we're like talking the whole time right now. But if you were like, when I was in my relationship, date night, whatever, I was like, oh, I'll shave. And like, that's how I prepared for a date night.
Right.
Because that meant that I was like ready and sexy and perfect. Ugh. We can let you jump in now. Thank you for coming to our podcast.
Well, I did an episode about pubic hair and management, waxing, things like that. And at the end of the day, it comes down to what you feel most comfortable with and what you want. And your partner may have a preference, but they have no say over your body and what makes you feel most comfortable. I know for me, like, I like no hair. I like it waxed, no hair, because I don't like the odor of my sweat when I do have hair. Have you ever noticed like the difference of the odors with hair and no hair?
I don't even know if I put those two together, but that makes so much sense.
I am super so I've also always had a thing with hair.
Yeah.
As in I don't like it. So like I made my mom cut the hair off of my Barbie dolls and my My Little Ponies because I just didn't like it. It freaked me out. So I think body hair, and I also hate sweat.
Yeah.
And I don't like spit either.
As you're sitting next to the swampiest person. Don't like sweat.
I don't like it. Just don't hug me.
I won't touch you ever. I promise.
I don't know. So all of those things mixed together, that kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, but that's more of a personal thing. And then I also wonder, because yeah, I also prefer no hair. But where is that coming from? Is that coming from my boyfriend when I was 16 mm-hmm. telling me that that's what he preferred and then I internalized it and made it my belief? Is it actually how I feel? Like, why does it make me feel more comfortable?
Right.
That's what I get into. And then I spin down.
Yeah.
And I have no idea.
Well, that's where I was too earlier. I was like, oh, I'm just going to shave and get a full out wax because I feel more comfortable with that. And I'm like, I don't know if I do though. So I ask myself those same question all the time.
How old were you when you got your first wax?
My first wax, I was 18.
Yeah, I got one as well. I think I was also 18. Yeah.
My first wax was a Brazilian.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah, it was just like,
same.
Like
full spread send. Your legs, your cheeks, lift mm-hmm. up, and I'm going to wax you.
Yeah, it felt really normal though. I loved the person who did it.
I've never really been too scared about opening up around
professionals.
Yeah. I
or
had
in general,
just in general. Well, I had a lot of medical stuff earlier in high school where I constantly had to be like shirtless at the doctor. Mm. So just earlier on, I was like, when there's a professional, when it's consensual and a professional, mm-hmm. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love that. I had my first wax when I was 15 and my mom like took me to her lady and we like did it together. I think I was going to prom with one of the older boys. Of course.
Were you like expecting something that night or were you just, oh, I'll get just ready for everything? Like, is that why you got
I think it was a just get ready. Yeah. The guy I went with, I wasn't actually attracted to, but I got to go with, you know, all the football players and things. So yeah.
You just wanted to get ready, get all nice and prim.
Yeah. I think I was trying to sleep with his friend, to be honest.
I was going to ask that and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't ask that. We're all trying to sleep.
Pretty sure.
You never know who you're going to end up with at the end of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the good point.
You don't. You never know where the night might take you. So, okay. Have you ever lost a tampon or a condom in your vagina?
Up and around. I have a story, but I'll let you go first.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought I lost a tampon the other day and I was at your house when I realized it and I was too scared to say anything.
You can always tell me if you think you lost a tampon.
I
know
I
would have.
I was just like so panicked. I didn't want to think about it. And I was like, I'll deal with it when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out I didn't actually put a tampon in.
Yeah.
Because I got ones that have no applicator. So they're really little because they're cheaper and I like them. I like that I can literally fit them in my wallet.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. But yeah, so they're small. And then I was like, oh my God, like it's gone. And I like really got in there. And then I realized what I was feeling. And it actually gave me a much better understanding of my vagina and like feeling my cervix.
You finally did your homework of looking around your vagina.
Well, it wasn't the looking, it was the feeling like deep inside. Because Jordan, this is a question for you. So with the cervix, can it be like cone shaped and coming down? That makes sense because how much of a cone it felt like.
So the cervix can be in many different positions. For some people, it sits lower. For others, it sits higher. And it just is like our own anatomical shape. So somebody, have you guys ever tried like the Diva cups?
Yes, I was using a Diva cup a lot. Yeah.
So when you size for those, they usually have you take a look at like how far in you insert your fingers until you touch your cervix. And depending on how far in you go depends on the length of the Diva cup. And so like for me, I use NuvaRing, so I'm in there all the time and I can't reach, I have small hands, so I can barely reach my NuvaRing, and I've definitely almost called in backup for that before. Everybody's a little bit different and you can kind of use your fingers to tell, but yeah, totally normal. Good question.
Okay.
I'm just surprised at how low down it was.
I don't think I've ever felt my cervix. How do you know when you're feeling your cervix? Does it just feel
it
different?
It was just, so it, there's like, you know, the pocket, which is the sure. vagina. And then it's like, I could go around this thing and then it like stopped. And then it just was like a cone thing in the middle.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've ever looked that deep.
I was scared out of my mind. So yeah. I was looking that deep. And then I was like, maybe I'm like not getting far enough. Maybe there's a fold I can't get into. I asked my partner, I'm like, are you prepared to find this? He didn't end up needing to.
That's good. When did you realize that it wasn't in there?
Very quickly after I got home, because I was deep.
I was deep. I constantly have a fear that I have forgotten to take out my tampon, or I don't know, my mind keeps going. I feel like sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, did I just put a tampon in over the top of another tampon? And now I'm going to lose the tampon behind it. Like I have toxic shock. I've never happened to me before, but I'm terrified of it. And I constantly think that I have forgotten to take out my tampon, because the one time I was a little drunk and I started having sex with my partner, and when by the time I was done, I was like, oh my God, I'm on my period and there was a tampon in there. And I was like, didn't you feel it? And he's, yeah, but I just thought that was your vagina. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? There was something stopping you that was like a cotton wall and you thought that was my vagina. And then that's when I got really scared and I had to go digging, and it took me a couple minutes to find it because it had kind of like flipped.
How deep did you have to go?
My whole hand was in there.
Like not to the wrist.
I did not fist myself. No,
but to the edge of your fingers.
Yeah.
Where the fingers meet the hand.
And then I had to like turn it in there because the string wasn't hanging down anymore. But I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it like stopping the penetration. But I remembered right after and I was like, oh fuck. And then I was terrified. So maybe that's where my fear comes from. Now constantly thinking that I have toxic shock or going to get
it. I have the funniest story about losing tampons. So recently I was living with a woman and she got really drunk, had sex on her period, and forgot there was a tampon in. Same thing. And the next day she's like, I can't find it. I need your help. And so I went to work that day. I'm just hang tight. Like you'll be okay. And brought home a speculum and a ringed forceps and some gloves, threw her legs on two chairs, sat on the floor on the edge of the couch, and went in and got it for her. And
love it.
Yeah, it was so funny, but
oh my gosh.
I mean, I do it all day at work.
Right. So lucky to have you. But I mean, that's the best case scenario. And that's so cool that you had the tools to come home with. I love it. That's so funny.
I probably could lose my job for borrowing the tools, but.
but you saved her life. You saved her life. And that's what counts.
That's the oath that you really made.
Exactly.
Is to help people. And that is what you did.
I love it. What a good friend. You get a good friend like patch for that.
Put on your jacket.
Say a pat.
No. Like that pat on the
not
back.
Even special.
No, just a patch.
Oh my God. Guys are funny. So I am curious, is there anything else that's like crazy that's happened to you that you thought was only happened to you?
Do you have anything? I feel like you get the most complications. But
oh yeah,
it's a lot more common.
Well, with butt stuff, that was where I ran into some issues. And
yes,
what I didn't run into an issue of was like graduating my size of butt plugs, because what we have learned is that I have a loose asshole. So like, yay for me.
Yay for you.
It is at the top of my resume.
Yeah. You have it right up there in your skills.
Yeah.
And interests.
Yeah. Right below education. So anyways, I was like, okay, like I am a pro. I was made for this. Here we go. And then I went to have like anal penetrative sex for the first time. And because I wasn't listening to the advice that we had been given by a past guest, I was like, let's try it in doggy style first. Because in my head, I'm like, that's where it went. I was a little nervous. So I get on all fours. He comes up behind me and it wouldn't go in. I don't know if I was tensed up. I don't know if I was scared. Probably. I don't know. I don't know. I was putting a lot of pressure on him too, because we were actually like preparing for an episode about
Cass takes her homework very seriously, and sometimes sex becomes homework, and that's just how her and her partner
work. It's always fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's pleasurable for sure, but I take my work seriously.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is my job. Mm-hmm. But it just wouldn't go in, and it was so awful. Like, he would try and shove it in, but it was like hurting him at that point, and it was like really, really bad.
A bent boner sounds terrible.
Terrible. So I don't know if that has happened to anybody else, or if I have both the tightest and the loosest assholes to ever exist. But
tightest and the loosest.
We tried it at like spooning style, and that worked fine. Slipped right I was more relaxed. So that's.
Have you ever tried you on top
for anal?
Yeah.
I haven't. Have you?
Let's know. Can we talk about that? How does that work? Like cowgirl, but you just slip it in your butt?
Correct. Yeah. It works great. And then you're in control and can determine like the length or like the depth and the speed and everything.
So how would you like move your body when you're in that position? Like, are your knees under you? Are you like crabbing it? You know what I mean? Like a crab walk
thing? I wouldn't do that ever.
Oh, sex. Well, you don't know what's attractive.
Sexuality then.
I'm sorry.
Sex.
Yucking my yum.
Anyway. I've definitely done both. Okay. And I've even done it where I spun around backwards,
Holy shit, Jordan.
Holy shit.
You're just all kinds of talent.
It wasn't my idea. And yeah.
Oh, so you kept the penis inside your butt, I assume, or a toy, and you just spun.
Wow.
You got a lot going on, and I like it.
It was really tricky, and anal is so not my thing, but it's not off the table either.
Right. That is fun. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that would be an easy position for you because that's how you started using your butt plugs, was on your knees, wasn't
that's
it?
That's true. Yeah, it is. It is. I couldn't remember.
You were scared of it getting sucked up your butt.
I was terrified.
Has that ever happened?
No.
But, oh, can we tell the story?
About what?
Of
I don't care.
No, it's not our story. Remember of the butt plug getting sucked up the butt?
Oh, yeah. So we can just say it.
Yeah.
Our friend,
yeah. There you go,
did have that experience and lost a butt plug. She had it in while her and her partner were having sex, and then she was loving it and then realized it was gone.
And then she like got up and was like looking for it and couldn't find it and had her partner help her come look. And she's like, wait, I think it's still in my butt. And they had to go fishing in the butt to get it. And that.
But they didn't have to go to the ER.
No, which is good. No. At least you didn't have to pay for it. Literally.
They got it out.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's crazy. A friend of mine that just happened to her like a couple weeks ago, she is also in like the sex coach world. And she had just posted, she works as a nurse in an ER. I think it's an ER. And she had just posted an x-ray of somebody who had a butt plug lost in their anus. And so it happened to her like 2 weeks after she posted this. And by the graces of all gods, what she was able to do was like meditate and relax and breathe, and it came out. But she definitely thought that she was going to end up in the ER. But it happens all the time, even with the ones that are meant for the anal cavity.
Yes, that is my fear. I just, I'm not ready for my partner to dig in my butthole.
Not quite yet.
I don't know if it's possible for me to get relaxed enough to allow it to pass back out. I just don't know if that fits with my personality.
Not at all.
That would not fit mine.
That's not attainable for me, which is fine. But I will say whenever I use a butt plug, I am constantly checking.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably not all that attractive.
You should use
like one sec, let me check my butt.
Try beads, because those can't really go. Yeah, your butt can't like control suck it.
You know, or a plug with like a really long stem.
Yeah.
So you're a paw
popsicle?
Okay, I have an even better idea. Maybe this is a thing. So if they have a plug, I'm thinking, picture like a large ring pop, but like a butt plug, right? So it's got that like hoop on the end. If I tied something to that, tied that to my wrist, like a surfer, I would never lose it. Because if it went in, I
gave a whole new meaning to surfboard. Just
throw my arm up. Yeah.
It's just a that you attach to your...
It is.
I think you guys have a new business plan right there.
I think that's our next step.
I think that is our next step.
Butt plugs for the anxious folk.
Honestly, though?
That'd actually be hilarious. That would actually be kind of funny.
I would buy
them. I think people would actually buy them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
I like the really long stem because then he could, or whoever could just control you. You know? Wait, come over here.
Yeah. Screw video games.
Screw video games. I'll be your joystick.
There's your slogan for your...
There's a tagline.
Yeah. I never want anybody to hear me say that. I know a lot of people are going to hear me say it because I just said it, but...
Uh-huh.
Never
oh
again,
my
maybe.
God, that's so funny. I love that. You have the best butt stuff stories. Can't top you. So
thanks.
I'm proud. Are there any other big like hiccups that come up for you, Jordan, that you like talking about in terms of shit that we go through?
I would say the thing that I see the most as a provider is toilet paper on the vulva. All the time. And get this, I work in a fertility clinic where all we do is transvaginal ultrasounds all day. Yet they buy the shitty ass toilet paper that when it gets wet, sticks to your skin. And these poor women, all of them have toilet paper on their vulva. Have you ever noticed that before?
I mean, I guess I have personally, but I've never... Oh my God, that's another thing I'm going to think about now.
I think about it before somebody goes down on me. That's when I'll be like double checking.
You know what I noticed? And it's not about toilet paper. It's more about discharge, but I've noticed like discharge balls. Mm-hmm. This is my first time saying that out loud, but cause it's come out on like toys mm-hmm. and I've seen it like after someone's gone down on me and I'm like, how did I produce a discharge ball? And I don't like that. That's something I'd love to talk more about. Why does that happen? Why does it come out like a ball?
Is it only during sex and intimacy?
Yes. Yes.
Cause I know, like I noticed the discharge balls just like with normal discharge sometimes unrelated to that.
Okay. Yeah, I would say I've noticed it the most during either masturbation or sex, and that's because I'm paying the most attention to my discharge, probably. It might happen more regularly, but that's when I'm like actually looking mm-hmm. at it and for it, because that's something I'm self-conscious about.
The other thing I think about in regards to like fluids and discharge, I know this is backtracking a little bit, but like when somebody goes down on me and then comes up and their face is wet, That freaks me out and I feel really guilty about it. And I know that that's like coming from shame around my own body. I also just don't like liquids and spit. So that's like a,
do you let them kiss you after?
If they wipe their face. Yes, that's probably something that I can and should work through. Liquids just freak me out. That's something that like has always kind of freaked me out. And so if I'm not like, nope, not going to kiss you for 72 hours. But it's like, can you just wipe your face for a second?
Yeah, just real quick.
Yeah.
A real quick swipe. I don't too much mind.
I feel like I can see you getting so grossed out.
If it's like dripping, I might do it, you know, before I kiss them.
Like wipe their face for them?
Yeah, just like if they're coming up to kiss me, you know, like
just grab your blanket.
Smush my pillow in their face. They think I'm suffocating. Yeah. Oh, it's just a little
new
play.
I'm into
suffocation real quick. But yeah, I guess mine is more those discharge balls that just came up for me. But I'm glad that's more normal. I'm glad both of you just nodded at that because I've never said that to either one of you. Well, you, but never said that to you either.
I definitely am down for kissing after they go down on me. That doesn't bother me too much. What about after you go down on your partner and kissing them? What are your thoughts?
I guess for me, because my issue is with a lot of, I don't know, like I,
Are you picturing after if they come in your mouth?
Oh, or are you just picturing? I don't care about that. I don't care.
Okay. I don't think I care about somebody else's fluids getting on me, which sounds, unless it's sweat or spit. I don't know, but like genital, somebody else's like genital fluids, which I don't love that term. I don't know what else to call it. Somebody else's juices.
There you go.
On me or in me. Like that doesn't bother me.
So you would kiss your partner after going down on him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that either. I like it. I remember I was hooking up with someone once and I've had two reactions. I've either had, I don't want to kiss you after you go down on me, which I think is just internalized homophobia. Then I've had, yeah, that's totally fine. You know?
Yeah.
Because I really don't know what the problem would be. I mean, everyone's allowed to have their preference, but
if I was going down on somebody with a vulva, I would wipe my mouth after. And I wouldn't, if, you know, I was going down on somebody with a penis and they came in my mouth, I would swallow it before I went and kissed them. I wouldn't let it hang and then kiss them. I wouldn't just like chill, swap it, give it back.
Yeah. All the partners that I've done that with have been penis, penis people. The penis people.
So speaking of ejaculation, have you ever had it where after sex, your vagina is like leaking the ejaculate fluid?
That is
actually, oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's never happened to me, but our friend has made very upfront comments about that.
Really? I don't remember these comments.
Just saying like, don't you hate when they come inside of you and then it's dripping out of you for the next 3 hours?
It hasn't been 3 hours, but I've had it right after sex, like when I'm going to the bathroom and like I'll wait in the bathroom when I'm like, cause you know, you pee right after. And then I'm like, all right, gotta let the rest drip out. And I'll wait until it comes all the way out because that's how I think I won't get pregnant. That's not my only form of birth control. But
yeah, see, condoms are my like main form of birth control. So it's rare that my partner would.
When I was on birth control, I would do that and I would notice that it came out after sex and I would look, but I've been off birth control for a while now. So I use condoms and it's a little different, but I would every single time I would look for it coming out.
Yeah. The little.
And walking around a little bit. Sometimes after you're like, oh, little, that's not mine.
Oh my goodness. The only other thing that's coming to mind is like when you accidentally pee a little. Has that ever happened to you guys? When you cough or sneeze or get on a trampoline or?
Far too often. I think I was having issues with it for a while because it was like every time I would sneeze, I just felt like I didn't have a lot of control. So I was seeing a Mayan abdominal masseuse and she helped me. I was going for other things, but that was something that we talked about. And that was something that just kind of got better as I was working with her. But I don't like the feeling of Kegels. And
really?
So I don't like, I don't know why.
Does it give you that icky feeling?
Yes.
I know the feeling that you're talking about.
It's that like,
it's like when someone touches your belly button feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes.
I get you completely.
I get that feeling sometimes just totally randomly. And it's, I wish that I could like separate that part from my body sometimes.
I know what you're talking about.
There's shit that women go through that I had no idea anybody else experienced. Thank you for putting a good, like,
you're welcome. Word to it. Cause I've touched my belly button before and
I hate that.
Like this tickles and I hate it, but it's like, I kind of want to sit with it because I don't know why it tickles and I hate it. So I've had that. So if that's how you feel during Kegels, I'm sure that's not that fun.
Yeah, that is how I feel. Yeah. So yes, I
avulsion into my belly button. Like it just, everything about my belly button and like, don't touch it. Don't stick your finger in it. Don't lick it. Don't nothing.
Yeah. I've definitely been around people who, and like you're saying, cannot hang with the belly button touching it around. I don't mind too much, but I hate the finger in it. Like, don't put your finger in it. That's too close to like my guts.
My insides.
Yeah.
Don't touch them.
Don't touch them. To ask you or answer your first questions, I'm constantly almost peeing in my pants. I met a friend in college and I think this was the first time I was like happy in my life. And she was just so funny that I would almost pee my pants every time we were like laughing together. And so since then it's been just a lot easier for me to get to that like really happy laughy point where it's like, yep, it's happening. And then just with other stuff like jumping or
an unexpected big sneeze.
Yes. Yeah. No, totally. All the time. It's funny because you ask the questions like things that we don't talk about. And it's almost like I forget what we don't talk about because everything, like everything that we've already said feels like
I've never said this out loud before. I've never talked about it out loud before, but I don't think about it as like stuff we don't talk about. I just think about it as stuff I try to forget throughout the day.
Yes. It's like it's been private for so long that
I need to be prompted to remember
about it happening because I just try and block it once it does.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like autopilot when embarrassing things happen.
Yes.
Embarrassing, you know.
Yes, so true. Well, and this episode is for National Girlfriends Day, and I thought that it would be perfect to get on and talk about these things, especially because I know you two are good friends, and there's so many things that happen to us women, and we've only covered like a handful of things, but there's so many things that happen to us that we're not talking about and we're so ashamed of or uncomfortable with, and being able to share that with each other, I think makes a huge difference for other women and even ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that whenever, like from this conversation and any other time that somebody has said, oh yeah, I go through that too, or Emma has mentioned something, it's, oh my God, I don't have to feel, it's like, it doesn't take away all of the embarrassment around it, but I think it does really take away a lot of the shame.
Yeah.
So it's not something I have to be ashamed of. It's still something I'm embarrassed about, but I don't hate it about myself anymore because it's like, oh, that's totally normal.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to put it, because as we've done this podcast, I've noticed those feelings starting to go away a little bit of like, oh my God, like the cringy feeling of, I can't believe that just happened. And more like, oh, there's that thing that we all do that I'm embarrassed of, you know? So the more and more you talk about it in any sort of realm in like sex, I feel it's just, we need to talk about things with your partners, with your own bodies, with your friends. We need to start talking about it more to feel better and just to have a better fucking time, because it takes away from your pleasure 100%.
And I think something that I've really learned, because I think we kind of set out in the podcast to be like, we're going to change everybody's relationships with their bodies completely, and we're going to love every aspect of our body forever. And it's like, I've realized that maybe that shouldn't be the goal, and that maybe the goal should be that like we sit with our embarrassment instead of being consumed by our shame. So like we sit next to embarrassment and we can see it, and we're like, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but we're not like fully feeling it and letting it limit us.
Beautiful. Thanks. Write a book. Write a book. That was beautiful.
I love that. So if the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you hope that it is?
I mean, I think for me, it's exactly what we just said. Start talking about it. Find someone you can have these conversations, even just the first tiniest little thing, even if it's just, did you just accidentally pee yourself when we went down that roller coaster ride? Because I did. And then you will see
roller coaster ride.
That's the first thing I thought of. I always pee on roller coasters when that big drop. I mean, I'm just
that
saying.
That was just like a, I don't know, felt old timey.
It did, didn't
weird.
I?
Yeah, I like it. But
that feeling of seeing someone's face light up when you just said something, like you with the belly button thing, when you said something that like flipped a switch in their head, oh my God, this person knows exactly what I'm talking about. That is the best like coming home feeling I think you could ever find in someone. And so I hope that's, and then one day you can talk about the balls of discharge that come out during masturbation and sex and you won't feel as bad. Maybe.
Yeah. I could not have said it better myself. And I would say, in honor of National Girlfriends Day, like honestly, one of the best things that has ever happened to me is finding somebody that I can talk about these things with, because I'll never be alone again. Like I'm never going to have to sit with these things and be like, oh my God, am I the only one this is happening to? So if you can find one person, whether it's us or like any of the three of us or whoever it is, like that is going to change your life.
I love that.
Way to ruin it. Doesn't she do that?
Well, thank you ladies so much for joining me. This has been a wonderful conversation. Where can the listeners find you at?
You can find us basically on most social media. We are probably most active on TikTok, so at Honey Do Me Podcast, or you can find us on Instagram at Honey Do Me Podcast. We have a website, honeydomepodcast.com. And we release new episodes every Wednesday. So definitely check us out on there. On anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And anywhere you listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I will be sure to share all of those links in the show notes so the listeners can come find you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We had so much fun.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.